The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
The Buffalo Bills are coming off a wild loss in Los Angeles, and now the challenge gets ramped up even a little more, if that's possible, against the 12-1 Detroit Lions on an 11-game winning streak. Safe to say they're the Super Bowl favorites in the NFC. Catherine, let's talk about the challenge for the Bills offense, which is pretty big here this week.
Yeah, so going up against the Lions defense, they rank third in points allowed, with just allowing 18 per game. And I think just kind of the way, you know, it's been interesting the way their offense contributes to that. The Lions offense is scoring so much that the defense has a different job. But I think just kind of let's go through a defense that's been a little banged up.
Yeah, the Bills' offense has the easier challenge. It's not an easy challenge, but it is definitely the easier challenge, the easier side of the ball this week, because the Lions have been getting it done, you know, without a ton of key pieces. I mean, they lost their star edge rusher, Aiden Hutchinson. Mm-hmm. They lost their other defensive end starter, Marcus Davenport. They lost their number four pass rusher or defensive end, John Comiskey. They lost their number one defensive tackle, Kyle Pico, or a starter anyway. And they lost starting linebacker, Alex Anzalone. They're dealing with a couple other injuries on defense this week that we'll have to keep an eye on. One, most notably, is DJ Reader, a really good defensive tackle. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. We'll see about that. So, banged up, but they are surviving. And really, I like you suggested, a lot has to do with complementary football.
Yeah.
I mean, the offense is making it. I don't want to say they're, you know, they're doing good things on defense, but the offense is making it a lot easier. They're playing with a ton of leads.
Yes.
And the offense is the number one scoring team in the league, and the offense is the number one ball control team in the league. So that is the challenge here, where if the Bills offense gets off to a slow start, like a three and out on the first or second drive, they might not see the ball again. This is you could easily have a game here where the offense only gets two or three possessions in the first day. It could be a low number of possessions game here. So the onus is on the Bills offense to produce and preferably get the running game going so the defense doesn't have to stay on the field, because the challenge is so steep for the Bills defense.
Right. The Lions on defense, their defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, he's aggressive too.
Yeah.
And you look at how they're doing on third downs. They're first in just 31%. So I think, like you said, the Bills really need to put together some drives and sustain them on the offensive side, just to, you know, be able to be on the field a little longer when the Lions' offense is so controlling.
Right. With this kind of offense, Aaron Glenn is an aggressive guy, but he has the luxury of blitzing a lot and being aggressive. Okay, we give up a big play or we give up a score. Well, we're putting up 30 anyway, so it's a good position to be calling plays from. So they are gonna blitz. They have blitz rate, fourth highest blitz rate in the league. So the Bills are gonna see blitzes on third downs. Now, I mean, the Bills' offense is rolling. Actually, I didn't at the start of the season envision the Bills offense being this good. They rolled up 42 on the Rams without Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid.
Right.
So, the onus is going to be on the Bills offense to score.
Yes, and the Bills offense is hopefully getting healthier just based off the timelines for these guys. Keon Coleman in particular, you know, they decided not to put him on injured reserve, so hopefully they're envisioning that he'll be back this week. But what else stands out to you about this Lions defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's opportunities for the Bills here, to attack the slot. The Lions have Amik Robertson, you know, an okay player in the slot. Terrion Arnold is a rookie, first-round draft choice, who has been attacked on the outside. They're going to leave him in man coverage. You know, the great thing about the Bills' offense, Jay Skirsky wrote about this week in the Buffalo News, you know, if you're going to play man, the presence of Amari Cooper beating man coverage. He did it in Los Angeles. I mean, that if the Bills didn't have Amari Cooper, I think everybody would be less. I don't care what is. Oh, he's produced, but his presence is huge, and I would be much less optimistic about the Bills in the playoffs without Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is a guy who, you know, he's going to beat man coverage. He's going to make tough catches. I think Amari Cooper outside the numbers, Khalil Shakir inside in the middle of the field, and maybe Dalton Kincaid in the middle of the field this week, the Bills can move the ball. I think, you know, the interesting dynamic here is the Lions like to blitz. They like to stack the box. So, you know, will the Bills be able to, you know, gain ground on first down runs? The Bills didn't, running game didn't, you know, was kind of shut down by the Rams. It didn't matter. Is Detroit going to dare them to make plays downfield and stack the box against the run? If they do that, the Bills have the weapons to beat them. But that's sort of the chess match to watch for. How much do they stack the box against the run early in the game?
Now, we've alluded to the Lions offense a lot already because they are just a powerhouse. They're number one in the league in points per game with 32.1 they're averaging, second in yards. But it's also just they're finding all these ways to win, or not finding ways to win. They're just doing it pretty statement-wise.
Right.
What stands out to you about what they're doing this season?
Well, I mean, I think it starts, as Sean McDermott likes to say, on the line of scrimmage, and they have one of the top three offensive lines in the NFL, maybe number one. Their right tackle, Penei Sewell, former seventh overall pick in the draft, I looked it up, has gone 21 straight games without giving up a sack.
Yeah.
so they control the line of scrimmage. I will say, the skill position-wise, the Lions are outstanding. They're not as good as the Rams.
Okay.
Matthew Stafford is a superior quarterback to Jared Goff, hands down. And Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are better, a better wide receiving tandem than the Lions' outstanding receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, a great slot receiver. Jameson Williams is a 4.3 speed, a burner on the outside. But I'll take Kupp and a healthy Kupp and Nacua over those two any day. So in that sense, it's not going to get harder for the Bills. But the challenge is they run the ball so well. Jahmyr Gibbs, 12th overall pick, former 12th overall pick from Alabama. He's fourth in the league in rushing. Their backup running back, David Montgomery, is 16th in the league. He's got like almost 5,500 yards in 6 years in the league, and he's their backup. He's gotten the way to his 3,000-yard season in 6 years, and he's their backup running back. So they can really control it. So they control the pass rush because their line is so good, number one, and number two, they're passing from advantageous situations all the time. So Goff is first in the league in play-action passes. Under center, play-action, that under center play-action slows down your pass rush. And as the Bills saw in Los Angeles, they didn't stop the run well enough, so Matthew Stafford did a bunch of under center play-action, which it was one reason it slowed down the pass rush. So, challenge for the Bills defense. This is one of those where the Bills are not going to shut them down.
No.
They need to find a way to get off the field a couple series on third downs.
Yeah, and again, it puts the onus on the offense to be scoring more and more. Let's talk a bit more about Jared Goff for a second, just kind of, you know, what he's able to do, but what he needs around him as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to denigrate Jared Goff. I'm just making the point that compared with Matthew Stafford.
Oh, sure.
Yes, Matthew Stafford is much more elite. Jared Goff, he's a number two passer rating in the league, a 72% completion rate, which is second best in the league. He is a really good pocket passer. He's not going to is good at creating off script. Mm-hmm. If you can get him outside the pocket and creating, you know, he's not a real dangerous scrambler, although he can, you know, run, get a few first downs. But so you want to get him to get to a second, third read, hold the ball, and maybe get the pass rush there. I wrote a story in today's Buffalo News about the Bills' blitz situation, and it wasn't good enough against the Rams. The Bills did try to play man coverage and blitz, and they didn't get enough pressure with their blitzes. I think they need to think long and hard, you know, going forward toward the playoffs about their blitz scheme. I'd like to see a few more blitzes from defensive backs. They don't blitz Taron Johnson. There's a very good reason they don't blitz for Taron Johnson, because he's so good in coverage. Right. But I'd like to – he's a good blitzer. I'd like to see them mix it up a little more and blitz him. Here's a game where they're not going to shut Detroit down. They need to, like, if they get, like, when they do get them in a third and nine, they just need to manufacture something to get them off the field. So, big game Sunday, a lot for Bills fans to think about heading into the game against Detroit. Let's talk a little bit about other stories we've been writing, particularly some off-the-field stories. Catherine, you had a story in today's paper, talked last night on the phone with Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer.
Yes, so big news in the realm of Damar Hamlin. On Tuesday, the Senate passed the HEARTS Act, which is the Cardiomyopathy Health Education, Awareness, Research, and Training in Schools Act, and that's going to put more AEDs, make more CPR access across America, in schools specifically. And that was something that Damar Hamlin has been working on for months and months alongside Chuck Schumer. But it passed the Senate last night. It passed the House in September, so it is on to the president's desk now. And Joe Biden has told Chuck Schumer that he will sign it when it passes, so that seems imminent. But yeah, I talked to Chuck Schumer on the phone last night, and he was just saying, I have to give Damar tremendous credit. He never gave up, and he said he wanted to turn his personal tragedy into a mission to save others. Now, we've been covering that in multiple ways, you know, just kind of as it's happened. But this, at the federal level, is going to have such an impact of just, you know, giving grants to schools to make sure they can get AEDs.
Yeah, and I mean, I think anybody who's a parent of a high school football player, I mean, this is something that is a reassurance. You would like to have know that this kind of medical equipment is on site, you know, in the rare but very important case where it's needed.
Yeah, and so just one more note on that. I talked as well to Jeff Miller, who's the NFL's EVP of Communications, Public Affairs, and Policy, and he was saying, you know, he sees stuff that players are doing around the league all the time, but he also has worked in Washington, D.C. as well and has seen that side of it. And to see a player so involved on the legislation side, you know, is pretty unique, and it's a testament to Damar Hamlin, I would say.
Another off-the-field story, Catherine, that you have been covering is, you know, the Walter Payton Man of the Year. All 32 teams nominate a player every year, and then the award is handed out Super Bowl week. And, you know, it's pretty hard to win this award because there's a lot of players who are, you know, work very hard off the field. And Deion Dawkins, now the Bills keep nominating him or making him the choice. This is the third year in a row, I believe, that Deion is the Bills' Walter Payton Man of the Year. Tell us a little bit about what you've researched on that.
Yeah, and I would say deservedly so. I think this is the fourth week in a row that Deion's hosted an event on a Tuesday. Yesterday it was his Snowman Express, where he went to four different stops around Buffalo to give out gifts to kids and also to parents. There were gift bags for the parents that kind of, you know, to make their Christmas a little easier. But I think just kind of the up-close nature of his giving back really stands out. You know, the kids gave in wish lists, so they were getting things they were really looking forward to. Talked to one mom who recently had to move houses. They had a bed bug infestation, and so she had to get rid of a lot of her stuff. And her daughter was crying when she opened her gifts just because she wasn't expecting to get stuff like this again this year after everything they've been through. And that's a testament to Dawkins and just his way to really connect with the community in all sorts of different ways. You know, like I said, this is one event that he's hosted in the last month. He's been working with the family court system. He's done food drives. He hosted ice skating downtown just to bring people together. And so, like you said, it's hard to win this award, but I think that Deion Dawkins is doing just about everything you can to, you know, build his case.
And he, there's no doubt that Deion walks the walk, and he, you know, he doesn't just blow in and make his quick appearance.
Exactly.
You know, another thing he did, in one of his stops, he handed out Jamarcus Ingram's book.
He did, right, yes. Yeah. So teammate Jamarcus Ingram just wrote a children's book, and Deion not only was giving out copies, but he made sure to buy the copies from Jamarcus to support Jamarcus and his foundation. Jamarcus came to some of the events as well before he hosted his own book reading on Tuesday. But I thought that was a really cool way to weave in, you know, another teammate, but also to support someone else's foundation. And kids were excited for the book, you know.
Yeah.
That can go, you know, kids can be hit or miss when they get a book as a gift, but they were really excited about it.
All right, so those are some stories you'll find on BuffaloNews.com. Please check our site for links to all our Bills coverage leading up to the Detroit game and for all the links to this podcast and more. Thanks so much.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. Four great Western New York locations, Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.